I can get them wrong, as you know. We're reading from Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 19. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who was to betray him. All 12. He still calls people to follow him.
Thanks, Peter. Dave Criddle is going to speak to us today, so let's just pray for Dave. Lord, we thank you for Dave, his willingness to come and talk to us today. And we just pray for him, that he would receive from you as much as we receive from you. We pray for him, his words, that they will really ring clear in our hearts. And we thank you that you are blessing us through what he's got to say. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel. Thank you, Peter. Thank you all. It's great to be with you today. Yes, my name's Dave, and I am indeed Graham and Joe's son. And I think we can tell from that reading, which Dad chose for this morning, that in his eyes, Christmas is over. We're no longer in the Nativity. We're no longer interested in the birth of Jesus. We've moved past that now, haven't we? The decorations are down. Not that Mum and Dad have any. Bar humbug. So the theme, the title that Dad in particular has asked me to share around today is this idea of journeying with Jesus. And we're going to be exploring a little bit about why and who it was that Jesus called to be his first disciples, to really closely journey with him for those 3 years up until his death and his resurrection and his ascension when he went back to heaven. So we're going to be thinking about that, and we're going to be exploring. Really, my job today is to try and help us notice some things in this passage and ask what they might mean for us. And this idea of journeying is one that I've actually been spending quite a lot of time with recently. About 6 months ago, Natalie, Jed, our little guy, and I, we moved to Sheffield, where I now lead a small church in South Sheffield that we've just renamed. And we've renamed the church Pathway Church. And the reason for that, what we're saying at every possible opportunity we get, is that we believe that for every single person, there is a pathway from where you are right now, where they are right now, to an eternal, full, and fulfilled life. And that pathway is called Jesus. And our job as a church is to invite people to find Jesus, to find that pathway from where they are now to where God has to take them. And Jesus, we see in this passage, kicking off that journey with 12 people, inviting them to come and follow him, choosing them. The passage just before this, we see that a large crowd of people has come to him. But Jesus doesn't say, I don't want the crowd, but he says, I want to call out some people specifically to come and be close to me, to have a really intentional relationship with. Why does he do that? We'll come to that in a bit. Who does he do that with? We'll come to that as well. And actually, as we look at the why, we don't really have to ask that question, because the passage tells us itself. We hear, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. It's the first thing. and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the things that Jesus has been doing. He's been preaching, he's been driving out demons, he's been healing people, and he calls these 12 men to him that they might, one, be with him, and two, be sent out by him to go and do the things that he has been doing himself. And that's what I want to think about. I want to think about the why and the who. And the why, we've seen that there are two reasons, and for each of them, I want to zoom in on what that looked like for Jesus and his disciples. Then I want to zoom out and explore actually that this isn't just about Jesus and his disciples. It shows how God has always related to people and also wants to relate to us. And because it relates to us, it's important that we then, I'll invite you to have a moment to look back over maybe the last year or so and look forward into what's coming and ask if this is God's heart for people and if it's revealed through the way Jesus related to his disciples, then how have I been going with that? And what might that look like for me as I step forwards? So that's the plan. That's where we're going. So we'll start by thinking about reason number one that Jesus called these disciples, that they might be with him. That's what we hear. We hear that he chose, verse 13, those that he wanted. He wanted these people. He wanted these 12 specifically. He chose them out of the great crowd that he could have chosen from. And he appointed them that they might be with him. Not just so that he could be with them for their benefit, but also so that they might be with him for his. It's not just because he knows they need him, but actually he wants them to be with him. He's chosen them. He chooses that. Part of the reason, obviously, that Jesus called these 12 disciples was that he might teach them, he might train them, he might give them, he might equip them, he might show them how to do the things that he wants them to do. Of course, that is part of the reason that he calls these 12. But there's also something of Jesus wants a community around him. Jesus, as we've just celebrated over Christmas, sorry to mention Christmas, Dad, but as we've just remembered at Christmas, Jesus, the Son of God, took on humanity. He became one of us, and part of being human is to have relationships. Part of being human is to have community, is to relate to other people. And Jesus took that on as well. And we know that he called these 12, and within those 12, he had an inner three, James, John, and Peter. And it seems that John was his very best friend. Because Jesus, as he expresses the heart of God, and as he expresses humanity as it's meant to be, relationship is part of that. He wanted these people because he wanted to be with them. Relationships matter. There's something for us to think about in our relationships as well. There are two times in the Bible that we hear that Jesus spent a whole night praying. He prays lots. There's two times we hear that he spent the whole night praying. One was in another version of this passage in one of the other Gospels. The night before he called his 12, he spent a whole night praying about it. And the other time we hear that he stayed up into the night praying was on the night before he would be arrested, or the night that he was arrested. And he invited his friends to come and do it with him. Community, these people mattered so much to Jesus that he spent a whole night praying about them, and he spent a whole night wanting to pray with them. Community matters, relationship matters. So that's what it looked like for Jesus and his disciples. But now I want to zoom out. Because this reveals not just something about Jesus the human, it reveals something about the heart of God. Because God always longs to be close to people. Because he loves them. Because he loves us. I met someone last year, and we've been getting to know one another a little bit. And I'll be honest, some of that process of getting to know each other has been a little bit tricky. Because the truth is, we don't have an awful lot in common, me and this person. We don't enjoy the same television, we don't enjoy the same hobbies, we don't eat the same food. Actually, this person can sometimes be a little bit selfish. Whenever we've gone out to eat, I've paid. Whenever we spend time, sometimes actually I've needed to cancel things that I've wanted to do because this person has wanted something from me. But despite all of those things, I still want to be with and spend time with my son. Because I love him. And because actually there are so many things about him that any other human being, I would say, you know what, I'm just not interested. We don't like the same things. I don't enjoy doing the things that you enjoy doing, because what you enjoy doing is really boring and repetitive. But I just want to be with him, because I love him. And we see that magnified up, because of course there are times when I don't, because I get grumpy, and because I'm tired, and because any other number of things. But God expresses that perfectly. He wants to be with us because he loves us. And we see that all the way through the Bible. I need to apologize at this point, because after I'd planned what I was going to say today, and after I shared a bit of it with Dad, he said that he did something similar a few weeks ago. So apologies for that. But right at the very beginning of the Bible, we see in Genesis that we see a picture of God walking with Adam and Eve, with people in the garden. It's a picture of God wanting to be close with people. He wants to be with them. Of course, this comes in the story of them then hiding from him, and we'll come to that in a moment. But then right at the very end of the Bible, we see this amazing declaration, which part of it is up there on the screen. But we hear this: look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. That's about five times in one sentence, an expression that God wants to be with his people and one day will be fully, perfectly, face to face with everyone. So at the very beginning of the Bible, we have a picture of God wanting to be close. And then as we track through all the way to the end, we have a picture of God fully being with people. And every step of the way along that journey, we see God's intention is the same. Because, as I said, the people who God wanted to be in the Bible with, in the garden with, they were hiding from him. Why were they hiding? Because they'd taken the fruit. They'd done what they shouldn't do. They'd said, I don't want your way, God. I want my way. And as a result, they were ashamed and they had to hide. And death came into the world. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. If heaven, as we've seen, is about being with God, then spiritual death, the opposite of heaven, hell, is about not being with God. But God wasn't satisfied with that. God wasn't content to leave things that way. And so he worked through various people, and some of them were kings, and some of them were prophets and messengers. And each of those things was a way for God to say, I want to be close to you again. I want to work with you. I want to be near to you. And so he was near to the prophets, and he was near to Moses, and he was near to Abraham, and he was near to the kings. And they had a relationship, not a perfect relationship, because just like those who had to hide in the garden, there were things that would make them hide or withdraw or rebel or act against God. But God still wanted to be with them. And of course, in Jesus, God showed his desire to be with us. As he entered the world, as he entered humanity, as he took on our flesh, as he ate and drank and slept and walked and did all the things that we do, and he called these 12 because he wanted them and because he wanted to be with them. And then he died so that they could be forever. And he rose so that the life that they now enjoyed might last forever. I don't know people here, so I don't know really who's listening to me. So in case no one's ever told you, this is the good news of the Bible. This is the good news of the Christian faith, that God made it perfect, that we do our very best to break it, and we've messed it up in many, many ways, but that Jesus came and he's fixing it. And he can fix you, just like he's fixing me. And all we have to do is say yes. Because Jesus wants that kind of relationship with you. Jesus wants to be close with you. And after he died and rose again, he then sent his Holy Spirit. And he'd talked about this before he died. He'd said to these same disciples before he died that he was going to leave them and that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to them. And he says to them in John chapter 16, verse 7, truly I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, which is the name he's using for the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. What Jesus is saying is that it is even better than having him physically as a human being in the room that they can look in the eye and speak to. Even better than that is that Jesus will send the Holy Spirit to live in us. Does God want to be close to us today? Yes, he does. That's why he sent his Spirit to dwell and live in us. And as we've seen, one day, all of that hiding and all of that wrong and all of that rebellion that I still do, despite Jesus coming and dying for me, despite the Holy Spirit taking up residence in me, one day that will be gone and behind me, and I will never have to worry about it again, and I will see Jesus face to face. So the story of the Bible can be told as a story of God calling people that they might be with him. So we've zoomed in on Jesus. We've zoomed out to see what this really looks like. God wants to be close to you. He's made the way for that to happen. So as you look back over 2023 or back further, have you been? Have you been close with God? And I'm careful as I say this, because there's a danger in asking that question that I'll provoke in you this idea that it's your effort that will have made you close to him. Did I read my Bible enough? Did I pray enough? Did I go to church enough? Did I go to life group? Whatever it is. And in a sense, yes, those things are gifts that God gives us in order that we might abide in him, that we might remain close with him, that we might be near to him. But remember, whether your year has been shaky or firm, whether it's felt like a banner year or an absolute train wreck in terms of your faith, whether you would say, I haven't even had a faith during 2023. It isn't your effort. It was what Jesus did for you that means that you can be with him. Just as these 12 people didn't choose to be the 12, he called them. It is Jesus that does this for us. Jesus that opens up the way. And as you look forward, are there things you want to put in place to protect and to guard that? I want to leave that with you to think about. But of course, there are two reasons that we hear that Jesus called these people, that they might be with him and that he might send them out. We read, didn't we, that he sent them out to preach and to cast out demons. These are, as I said, the things that he has been doing. And so they're the tasks that he equips them and sends them out to do with him and for him. Why? As we zoom in on Jesus, why? They're far worse at these things than he is. We see examples of them trying to do some of these things and then failing. There's a time when they try to cast out a demon, but it doesn't work, and they have to ask Jesus, well, why did that happen? Why didn't it work? And he has to show them. Why doesn't Jesus just do it himself? Well, part of the reason, I think, is that there was quite a lot of ground to cover. And Jesus, Son of God though he is only, at this time, one man in one location. And yes, a great big crowd could come and follow him and listen to him preach, but that can only be in one place. And actually, this good news about the kingdom of God coming, about God's desire to be close to people, that needed to go everywhere. That needed to spread far and wide. And so Jesus, instead of just saying, I'm better at this than all of you, I'll do it myself, he says, I'm going to send you to go, because after these 3 years, this message needed to go to the ends of the earth. It needed to go everywhere. It still needs to go everywhere. If Jesus had just done everything instead of sending them, it wouldn't have got as far as quickly. I'm sure that you could probably gather a pretty big crowd of people in Crewe to come and listen to someone talk about God. If all the churches said, right, let's have one event where everyone comes together and we'll get the very best person to come and talk at it, and it'll be it will put piles and piles of money into it, I'm sure that would have a really positive impact on Crewe. But I've done the maths. With the number of people in this room, if each person in this room was able to share their faith and lead one person to come to Jesus in a year, and then if at that point there'd be twice as many of us, and then if the same thing happened the next year, and the next year, and the next year, 10 years down the track, Everyone in crew is a follower of Jesus. That's quite cool. It's also just maths. But Jesus is doing something similar here. He's saying, I'm going to invest in you and send you because that's what is going to actually reach the world with this message, with this news. And again, as we've zoomed in on Jesus, we can zoom out and see this is just how God works. He's close to people and then he gives them jobs to do. He gives them a task. As we're back in the garden with Adam and Eve, when they're made, we read this. Let's make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And what's the next thing? So that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the creatures on the land, and they might reign and they might multiply and they might rule over everything. God is wanting to be close with those people and giving them a task to go and be his agents in the world. And at the end of the Bible, very, very near the last words of the Bible, we see this, that in this wonderful heavenly place, the Spirit and the bride, which is the church, so the Holy Spirit and all those who follow Jesus are inviting everyone to come to God. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And the one who hears that says, yeah, I've heard that. And now I'm going to invite others to come. And every step of the way along this way, I won't go through them all, but each of these people that God draws close to and calls to him, he then gives instruction, he gives command. He says to Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to the whole world. Yes, he appoints kings to lead the people, but those kings are meant to be God's justice and mercy and all of those things within the kingdom of Israel. All of these people that are with God, that he wants to be close to, he then gives a task to. And we see that working out in the life of Jesus as he calls these 12 and then more people and sends them. The Gospel of Matthew ends with those great words. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Just as Jesus has made disciples, he calls them to go and make more disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything that they've commanded, not just to know it, but to do it. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. I'm not done being with you. I still want to be close with you. God wants us to go in his name, to love people in his name, to share what we know of Jesus with people in his name. It is wonderful to simply be a child of God. When we are a child of God, he invites us to go and to share and to tell other people. Maybe there's someone who you've been thinking, oh, should I not invite them along to Alpha? Could go wrong. Could burn some bridges. I'm not saying you definitely should with that person. I'm saying it's probably quite likely. It's certainly right that if there's someone that's on your heart, you should be thinking, how is it that I can share what I know of God with them? How is it that I can invite them to receive what I myself have received? So as you look backwards and look forwards, have you been a bit stuck? Do you want to remain a bit stuck? What is it that Jesus is asking you to do? What is it that he is calling you to go out and do? Because it's what he wants to do, and he wants to do it through you. You might be thinking, ooh, this all sounds for people who are a lot better than me. Good news for you. Who is it that he appointed? We'll do this bit a bit quicker. Who is it? Well, these are the 12 he appointed. I'm not going to go through all of them. There's 12 of them. 12 days of Christmas. There we go. It was Christmassy after all. We got there. There were 12 of them. I'm going to talk about three. Matthew, the tax collector. You might well know this already, but the area of land that Jesus and the disciples were mostly in was an occupied area. It was a Jewish land, but it was occupied by the Romans, and so the Romans would demand taxes, and the tax collectors were mostly local Jewish people who were appointed to do this task and then give the money to the Romans. It's a slight oversimplification, but it'll serve our purposes. And these tax collectors were sort of hated on at least two fronts. One was that they were seen as traitors because they were working for the occupying force. And the second was that often they would actually take more than they should have done and pocket the change for themselves. And that was just the price of doing business. So you've got Matthew, who a lot of the other disciples would have looked at and gone, I hate what you do. I hate the kind of person that you are. I hate the way you go about things. And then on the other hand, you've got a man called Simon. Simon, who is called the Zealot. Now, the Zealots, that's not just because he's really excited about things. He's called Simon the Zealot because the Zealots were a faction within the Jewish people who thought the way to get rid of this Roman occupying force, the way to sort of almost force God's hand and get him to act and to move was to have violent resistance against the Romans. So to kill them. So sometimes these zealots would take up a knife or a sword. They would find a Roman centurion who was sort of by himself, and they would kill him. So you've got, on the one hand, someone who is cozying up to the occupying forces and saying, let me collect money for you. And on the other hand, you've got someone who is saying, let's kill the occupying forces. And now Jesus says, come and be on a team together. Whew. That relationship would have been quite tricky. We know that in one way or another, Jesus didn't think that either of them and their approach was right. There were things about both of those that he would challenge at other points in his life and ministry. So Jesus doesn't just pick the people who are A, going to get on nicely with everyone else, or B, do everything that he already thinks is right. Which means that you, whether your problems and whether you think, oh, my problems is that other people don't like me or other people don't respect me, or whether you're thinking I'm not good enough for God, Jesus calls these two people, and if he calls them, he can call you. So don't write yourself off, and don't write off someone else either. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus invited these 12 men to be his disciples, to be close to him, to be part of that inner circle that he would have. He invited them. And they all said yes. And 11 followed through on that. And one didn't. They all had wobbles. They all had times when they got it wrong, when they were afraid, when they ran away, when this, that, or the other happened. But it was Judas who betrayed Jesus. And we have no evidence in the Bible that he was remorseful of that he repented of that. You may feel as though you have made huge mistakes. That doesn't immediately rule you out. The question is, will we turn back? Will we turn around? Will we say, I've messed up here. 2023 was shocking. I don't want 2024 to be better in my own strength, but Lord, will you forgive me? Because I think you want to be with me this year. And because I think there are things that you want me to do this year. So as you're journeying with Jesus, and if you're not, it's a really good thing to do and an absolutely brilliant way for me to end this year and a fantastic way for you to begin the next year would be if I had a chance afterwards to talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus and maybe to pray with you about that as well. I would love to do that. Come and find me. But if we are following Jesus, I hope this has given us something to reflect on. Jesus wants to be with you by his Spirit. The Father wants to be with you. That's why he sent his Son for you. And boy, is there work to be done in his strength, by his Spirit, for his glory. Let me pray, and Heather and the band will then come and lead us again. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you don't stay far away. Thank you that it's never your hand pushing us away. And I'm sorry for the times when it's my hand pushing you away. But thank you that from the garden, all the way through to the new garden of the new creation, your heart is always towards people, that you want to be with us. We thank you and we praise you for that. And I ask that you'd also give us a stronger sense of what it is that you want to do and you ask us to do with you and through you. So we thank you for the year that has been. We thank you for the year that will be. We thank you that you are unchanging and the same in all of them. Thank you for your heart expressed through Jesus as he calls these 12 friends. Help us to respond to you today. Amen.